Justin Kremen is a Philadelphia-based writer whose first novel was Finney, and his latest is The Preservationist. The popular novel is about a love triangle that takes place between three college students. It stars Julia, a damaged young woman who finds herself in the sights of two men, one a fellow college student, the other older and an employee of a restaurant she frequents. So the big question, which one is the psycho? Kremen has also taught at several universities, including Haverford and Arcadia, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. The first novel was a coming-of-age tale. This is a page-turner suspense thriller. So is this ultimately the kind of book that you've always wanted to write?
Well, so I think I talked to you after that first book came out, and
yeah.
And so that first book was kind of a lighter, you know, love story and coming of age novel, and then this book is a much darker story, a suspense novel. So a lot of people have been checking in on me since this book came out. You know, what's going on? How are you feeling? Everything okay with you in there? You know, I really like to go in a lot of different directions with each thing that I write, and so this book, I wouldn't say it's the direction, but I was reading a lot of suspense novels, crime novels, a lot of books that focused on dark things or orbited around violence. So a lot of things that concern my wife. You know, you sit in a room all day by yourself as a writer, sitting there reading about violence. It's not exactly your wife's idea of how the marriage contract is supposed to be. So, I was really interested in the stories as a way to get to new kinds of personalities that I hadn't in the first book.
So who would you read?
I loved Patricia Highsmith.
Yeah.
So, like The Talented Mr. Ripley. There's a book by John Fowles called The Collector, his first novel
that I loved.
Great. Yeah, it was a great novel. And then Henning Mankell, more contemporary.
Yeah.
And so those were some of the novelists. But then I really was trying to do as much as I could over that year to get an idea of the genre.
What's interesting, and not again, not to pass judgment, but what's interesting about the list you just said, because they are dark, but there's very twisted. I mean, it's a very complex psychological type of suspense.
Yeah, you know, I found reading the books that I just as a person am less interested in some of the procedural parts of the crime solving, even though some of those writers do that. And I really was drawn toward the psychological part of it, which is like the characters, the relationships. What makes, you know, people who do crazy things, you know, what are their motivations? You know, you see people, I think, on the street from the outside, you get that kind of outside view. And most of us, that's the view we get of most people. How's it going? It's going great, you know, that sort of thing. And then I think the psychological crime novel, part of what it can do is show the inner view instead of just that outer view. So that part that we don't often see that maybe is hidden from other people or even from ourselves, those private worries, regrets, fears, anger, sadness, all that stuff. So that part, while it's not like fun territory to be in, it's very interesting territory to be in as a writer.
When I was reading the book, Julia, who's the main character here, is you keep on saying to yourself and to her, "Oh, why are you doing that? what are you doing?"
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, I think that's a hallmark of a lot of these crime novels is, you know, life choices, not always the best life choices.
Right.
And so all three of the people in the book are kind of damaged people. So there's Julia, this one main character. Then you have, you know, Sam, who's this older man she gets into an unlikely relationship with.
Right.
And Marcus, another man who's interested in Julia. They're all kind of dealing with loss that they have in their lives, but in a dysfunctional way, in a way that we would all from the outside kind of say, you know, maybe make some different choices here. And so my thought with Julia was she had to be someone who had some traumatic things happen that were different from other people to make her kind of make these choices that weren't what you or I would hopefully make. I can't speak for you, Joe.
No. Well, I was going to say, you know, we all say this, but I think there's also that deep line where you say there also the baseline, which is, yeah, okay, but it can't happen to me.
Right. Yeah.
And you see that in that character as well.
Yeah. And I think for the most part, we all hope and assume that it won't happen to us. But I think the interesting thing in a novel is you get this short opportunity to say, what if? What if it did happen? What if you did get closer to that thing than you ever wanted to get?
I've always wondered about this, and I've talked to several writers about it, but I find it fascinating. When you are writing a page-turner, when you're writing a book that has a very quick pace to it, do you write it faster?
I find I write it slower, actually, which is that the pages have to do a lot. If they're, you know, if you want them to turn quickly, the chapters in the book are very short. So often right. in two or three pages, you need to have a whole chapter's worth of material. So that chapter has to kind of introduce a problem. It's got to set up a question at the end that makes you want to flip the page and see what's going to happen next. So I find that a lot of times there's a lot of careful planning about what's going to exactly happen in that scene or that chapter, what each character is going to face, and then really trying to continually condense that further and further. So it's kind of, for me, the opposite.
When you wrote Finny, again, that was sort of it was your first novel, but a coming of age story. And were you thinking about that progression of, okay, what comes next? Was that a big choice for you, a big decision?
In terms
to
of
make?
The next novel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I try not to think about it too much, but I did think I wanted to do something really different. I felt that doing something that was so similar to what Finny did would kind of peg me as the author who writes these you know, coming of age with larger than life comic characters that in the model of like Dickens or something right. like that. And I love those books that do that. But I also love reading other types of things. So, you know, in the interest of, you know, trying to have some diversity and perhaps making things more difficult for myself as a writer, I decided to try a completely different genre and challenge people to read something that they didn't expect at all.
I was looking up to see what you were doing locally because you're from Philadelphia. Where yes. are you in Philly?
I'm in Mount Airy, which is okay. kind of the northwest area near Chestnut Hill.
Okay. And I grew up in Norristown.
Oh, yeah.
And you're originally from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So I was looking online to see what you were doing here locally. And I came across this thing that in Reading, you went to this group called Greedy Readers.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit down with this group of readers and you talk to them. And you do a lot of this book
yeah.
group stuff.
Yes.
I think I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again, which is, to me, that would be like going to your own funeral.
But probably depends on the group.
But it has to be enjoyable, or I assume you wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, first of all, it forces people to hang out with me. You know, I think that's number one, is that I don't get invited
well,
to
sure.
a lot of parties.
All right.
And this is one way to kind of get that invitation, you know, in. So,
other than your wedding and your funeral,
yeah,
that's
I mean,
really the only guaranteed.
You didn't think you'd have to write a book to do it, but, you know. I think it's for me, like, writing in a room by myself all the time, you kind of don't know who's on the other side of the page. You don't get to see that. And this is one of the few opportunities, because even when I do readings or signings, the people haven't read the book yet, you
right.
know? And so this really, these are people who have read the book, who have different opinions about it or the characters or different things and are ready to talk to me, ask questions, make comments, whatever. And that, so I do like doing a lot of it. And, you know, it's a good chance for them to see how pale a writer is in person.
I was reading one of these, and like they win you, right? Is that the weird thing? They
yeah,
win you.
Second prize is two of me.
two meetings with
two,
you?
Or? Yeah, right. I come over for an extended visit. Do your laundry or something.
Now, and I'm just going to show you a picture, and obviously people on the radio can't see this, but here's a picture of you at a table, and you're talking to a bunch of readers, and lovely, lovely women who are sitting there talking. At some point, you know, do you just start scoping the exits, though?
No, I think more that sometimes they're worried since, you know, there are certain allusions to sort of serial killer things in the book. I think the groups are more nervous. I'm going to pull up in a van, you know, and have like plastic wrap around and things like that.
Offer.
I think, you know, it's more reassurances that on my part than on theirs.
I see. And do you learn? I mean, is there something that you learn about the process?
Yeah, I learn a huge amount. I mean, you can't change a book once it's written, you know, once it's published for the most part. I mean, and So I kind of have to let go of the past projects, but I do learn the way people react to different things. So when I see those reactions to scenes and different things in my work, it makes me think about where I'm going in future things and kind of writing.
And what works and what doesn't?
What works and what doesn't, and what grabs people, because you have certain ideas writing, you know, and just from the way the media and the culture is, that you need certain splashiness or things to grab people. And often it's scenes you wouldn't expect. Often it's a small domestic scene that's the most talked about thing, not the knife wielding maniac, but
right. This
quiet scene in the kitchen with a mother and daughter. And that stuff you don't know until you see the other side of the page, like I said.
And because it's real and it's something that people can
everybody
identify with,
deals
I assume.
With. And I think even in these more extreme, the story has more extreme personalities and cases. But the thing is that those people still have parents. They still have things that they've dealt with. And their experiences, even if they're more extreme, they kind of are reflective of ways that we all, you know, deal with family and loss and all that kind of, you know, things in life.
And as I mentioned in the introduction, you teach, you do some teaching, and this novel takes place on a college campus, and the question sort of asks itself, doesn't it?
A college campus is a perfect setting for light law enforcement. Let's say, you know, I mean, my experience, you know, I've taught at some small schools around Philadelphia,
yeah.
And I went to school at a small school in Philadelphia. And
where'd you go?
I went to Swarthmore College.
Oh, okay.
And,
all right.
I was teaching at Haverford College last year. And so this school kind of combines some of these smaller colleges. And this is not to say, you know, I don't want this to be an aspersion on the law enforcement, but you do notice that people get a lot more day-to-day interaction with that would be monitored possibly more heavily in other circumstances. So for a crime novel, suspense novel, it opens up a lot of potential situations. You know, this young woman getting involved with somebody who works in the cafeteria who
right.
kind of moves around from place to place. Outside world, probably a few people would say something more quickly.
And it's a small contained environment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can have, there are three characters in the book, basically.
Yeah.
And that I can tell a story with just those three main points of view without having to open it too wide. It keeps it really intense and tight. And each chapter then kind of a little move might kind of mean a lot because the small things sort of take on a greater significance in that smaller environment.
Do you like of having these three characters, because you're true to all of them, right? There's not like one you're rooting for. Many times that's the case where there's one character that you're rooting for.
That's a really astute comment, actually. That's the biggest thing in this book, and that was sort of one of the things I took from reading The Collector, which we talked about before, which is that you assume novels are supposed to have a judgment, to have a main character who's the good guy.
Right.
And this book doesn't. It really is withholding judgment and just trying to tell the stories of all three, and you really don't know who to root for. And part of it was a change for me reading novels and trying to write a novel like that, where it's really the whole time the reader is trying to ask, well, who should I get behind? And that confusion and that disorientation is part of hopefully the fun of the book.
Right. Because you want to eventually get behind somebody.
You want to. And I think one of the things is this book resists that. Each time you start to, someone does something that makes you pull back. I think that can be a fun experience too with reading. I mean, it doesn't have to be one thing.
And I would think in writing, in the sense of coming up with those things that make people pull back.
Yeah, and just to disturb people. Yeah, that's
right.
A good. That's always a fun.
So, are you ready to disturb people for the next book? Or
yeah, I haven't had too much time this year. I've been traveling around a lot for this book, but I finish up, in the next month or so with the tour for this book, and then back to a room by myself, following these people who don't exist around, you know, and hopefully making something out of it.
Justin Craven's new novel is The Preservationist. It is published by Pegasus, and so you'll be around in the area and doing some different things.
Yeah, I'll be at Bookhouse after this, and then I'll be doing a few other things, and then people will be sick of me.
I doubt that. And the next time around, you'll come back and tell us about the new one.
I'd love to. This was
Excellent.
Fun, Joe.
It's The Preservationist. It is published by Pegasus Books. Justin, best of luck to you. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.